Welcome back, guys. We are off the couch with the Psych Guys. My name is Timothy Meyer, joined as always with Dr. Constantine Wilkin. Constantine, how are we doing today?
We're doing well, you know, as always, and this is a running joke here at the practice. I do a lot of emails from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. Yeah. Don't ask me why. This is not my therapy session, but we'll save that for a different time. But I was looking at our YouTube comments for some of the videos, right? And the EMDR one does really well. And there's a lot of comments, right? Like there's appropriate comments, inappropriate comments. Yeah. But one thing that came to me that I thought might be important to talk about, because all joking aside, it might be coming up in a lot of therapy sessions, is transference. Yep. And most importantly, erotic transference, mm-hmm. sexual transference, right? Like that usually comes up from time to time. And I'm wondering that we could talk about it. We could see how that can come up. So for some of the viewers or listeners, if that's coming up for you, you know, stay tuned just to kind of hear our thoughts on how as clinicians we deal with it.
Yeah. So it's a thing, right?
Right.
And some of those comments on YouTube that we went over.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, there were a handful of them that were, you know, like lots of those types of thoughts about me.
Right. Well, they're sexual, they're erotic, they are, you know.
Super comfortable to talk about.
Sure. Well, desirous, I would say, right? Like there's a sense of erotic sexual desire that's being presented. Obviously on YouTube, it's very easy because there's really no awkwardness, right? Yeah. You just make a comment and you move on with your day, right? In session, however, when you're coming for help, and all of a sudden you're coming in for help and you're noticing these other feelings, mm-hmm. sexual erotic feelings that are coming up, I wonder how that presents itself. I mean, how does it present itself?
Yeah. So real quick, I just want to throw a quick little definition of transference. Transference is really just the way that I like to explain mm-hmm. it. It's just really like any feelings that the client has towards the therapist.
Right.
Right. So, you know, if a client is sort of saying like, you're going to be so mad at me, but right. It's like, well.
Or you remind me of X, Y, and Z, be it a parent, a brother,
yep.
or whatever the case may be.
Right. So as therapists, you know, what we want to do is we actually want to explore that transference, right? Because it's really important. It's really telling. It can, you could do a lot of good work with it, right?
Right.
So transference happens all the time, right? It's actually technically always happening. There's always some sort of thoughts and feelings. Right. But here we're talking about the lovely one of erotic transference.
Right. Well, because if you think about it, that's a difficult one to talk about, right? Like it's not uncommon that I hear, you know, you would be, I don't know, let's say a parent calls in who's there in like 60s and they're calling in about their 20-something year old, right? And they would say something, like you're in your 40s, right? You'd be like a big brother. You know, he'll listen to you, right? Like, so there's a sense that when it's non-sexual, non-erotic, it's sort of people a lot more comfortable talking about it.
Yep.
I had somebody that says like, my God, it's so hard to listen to you. You look like my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my best friend, and then you're talking like my best friend, and you're giving me suggestions that are not bad, but also remind me of my best friend who's a fuck up. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's kind of, so those kind of transference issues come up and they're easier to talk about.
Totally.
Sexual erotic, you know, that's a lot more challenging,
mm-hmm.
because like and it could be confusing as well. Like, do I truly find this person attractive and I want to be with them? Or is it something that's coming up that's getting in the way of me getting well? And this is just like a detour. Like, it's just, it could get complicated.
Yeah, it does get complicated. And it happens a lot, right? So I think, you know, as therapists, you know, what we do is we're very empathic and mm-hmm. compassionate. We meet people where they're at.
Right.
We get to know them. We understand them. We listen. We, you know, take care of them. And that caretaking safe space often does, you know, lead to some feelings of attraction, because
for
people
sure.
feel safe and held and all of that sort of stuff. So it kind of is like a little bit of a breeding ground for that stuff.
In a way, for sure, especially if somebody comes in and there's concerns in the relationship and some emotional needs like safety, you know, attunement, care, nurture, and warmth are not there. And then they're coming in, seeing a person of a gender that they find attractive.
Yep.
Providing these things.
Yep.
You know, that could get challenging.
Yep. So all of these feelings are coming up for folks,
mm-hmm.
And in my experience, it's really challenging for them to talk about it.
Right.
Right. So, which I get.
Do they bring it up? Do you bring it up? Like how, because sometimes maybe they're making comments that are not directly saying, oh, I find you attractive. I want to be with you. Really more, you know, tangential or adjacent, I should say, yeah, to that.
So, you know, I kind of always have my eye out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I bring it up. Sometimes they bring it up.
Okay.
But we'll go with them bringing it up first because that's easier. So for example, like I remember I was doing EMDR with this woman. And in EMDR, you know, you have to sit like kind of close because,
right,
you know, like,
right,
like
right,
you're
right,
waving
right,
your hand in front of their right, face. And tune into the EMDR talk because right, I'm not going to explain it now. But like long story short, you're, I don't know, like a couple feet away from the patient. And we're doing EMDR. And she goes, I have to stop. And she's like, I don't think I could do this anymore. And I said, what's up? And she goes, just you sitting this close to me, I feel really uncomfortable saying this, but like, I just can't stop thinking about just you.
Right.
And I was like, oh, like
right.
In that kind of way, yeah, like attraction. Yeah. And then she was really embarrassed. More and she was like, yeah. And then she goes like, oh, like, I don't know, like I want to leave now, like all that sort of stuff. So we stopped EMDR and we kind of, right, you know, pivoted a little bit. And then we spent a lot of time normalizing that. But that was one like kind of small but concrete example of how, you know, like we're trying to process trauma, but all of these feelings were kind of getting in the way of that.
Yeah.
Right. So what we have to do, we have to take a step back. We have to talk about those feelings and process them. And we spent a few sessions like that.
How did it turn out?
It turned out, it actually turned out really interesting, right? So we were talking about, you know, like, why do we think these feelings are coming up, right? Mm. And she goes, well, you know, I never really had anyone who cared about me this much.
I see.
You know, it's kind of what I've always wanted, and I feel really safe to you, and I feel really close to you, and I feel really heard by you, and all that sort of stuff. So we kind of actually walked it back to some attachment wounds.
I see.
Of really like what this young lady didn't get when she was growing up, and from her parents and her father and previous exes. And really, we actually looked at those attachment wounds to understand the current feelings and the attraction here.
Right.
And then we actually ended up doing some EMDR on that.
So it informed the work.
Oh, completely. And for me, I think it always informs the work, right? Because these thoughts, these feelings, this transference, like it's coming from somewhere.
Sure.
Right? And to be able to unpack it, uncover, you know, go into it, it's always really beneficial and very therapeutic, if you ask me.
You know, it's something that's coming up to me. I was going to ask you and put you on the spot about a question, but then I kind of answered it in my own mind. Uh-huh. So I'm going to just kind of do a little bit of verbal diarrhea.
Okay.
What's coming up for me is that, there's also a different, what I was going to say is like, well, I mean, I hear that, but also there's a sense of like finding somebody just objectively good looking.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to be an attachment wound if you find somebody with a particular stature and they look attractive, right? So,
yeah.
But then I thought to myself, wait, but there's a difference. There's a difference between finding your therapist attractive versus having a sense of attachment and wanting to be with somebody, right? It's kind of like seeing somebody on TV, right? Like, you know, models or whatever. You can find them attractive, but that not necessarily moves you to like, oh, I want to be close to them. I want to have a connection with them. I want to date them. I want to be intimate with them. There's a difference there. So just that's what was happening in my head. Like there's a difference. You could find anybody attractive, including your therapist, but there's a difference between if you're taking the needs that you have and almost like superimposing it onto the relationship. And I think just to kind of put that out there, it's not like you can't find your, you know, person you're working with objectively attractive. That could very well be true. But if you're finding these erotic, sexual, intimate.
Yeah.
I really like to say that intimate.
Yep.
Emotional needs that are being met, that is definitely something to bring up, and that's definitely something to be able to look at in therapy session and just like introspectively. You know, say, oh, why are these things coming up for me? Kind of like when you were walking it back, like, yeah, it's probably something to do with attachment, probably some unmet needs, emotional needs that are being triggered by this person providing it unconditionally.
Yeah. Or yeah, a completely agreed, hit the nail on the head, that was perfect. Or it could be, oh, you know, like you and you actually remind me of like a positive attachment figure,
right,
or something like that, right? So there's never like a clear cut answer to it, but there's always something there,
right?
And I think if I'm putting myself in the client's shoes, what a difficult thing to put out there.
Right? Yeah. I mean, because that's embarrassing, awkward, uncomfortable. I mean, I could totally see like the person you're talking about wanting to leave the room. Oh. You don't even know how the person's going to respond. Yeah. They might say, that's inappropriate. What are you talking about? I mean, there's just so many ways because, you know, we're therapists, but hopefully based on this podcast, we're people too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just understanding the interpersonal dynamics in the room as well. So that could be, I mean, I'm so glad the person brought it up. I did not have such a good experience because the person, this is many years ago, but when the person brought it up, said like, I actually wasn't honest with you for the past 9 months. I was like, oh, okay. And then she was like, well, you know, I was thinking about us in a different way. Like, could we maybe like, you know, get together after sessions? And I said, well, you know, I was just like, just starting out. So this was like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something like that. But like, and I didn't know what to do. This was like my, I think like my second or third clinical year. I was like, I'm not sure. So you're probably like, I don't know what to do with that. So maybe didn't handle it the best way. And then the person never came back. Yeah. But what stuck with me is that like 9 months or 12 months, a long period of time, person wasn't honest because they wanted to present, not being honest, meaning that they're presenting like a version of themselves that they thought might be appealing to me. That's the reason I'm big. I'm wondering also, even if subconscious or if they're kind of trying to push it down, inadvertently, they're beginning to shift away from like, I have trauma to like, here's all my positive qualities and here I'm great here, right? Like, so noticing that or at least naming it, you know, could be powerful as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I can go into some of the more challenging ones where, well, for me anyways, where I've gently brought it up to other people, right? So like,
that's, wow, that's a big one.
So, you know, I'm kind of always keeping my eye out for it. And I'm trying to think of an example. Yeah, so this one example comes to mind of, it's a little interesting. So I started working with this person after they were referred to me by another therapist, right? So before I got started with this person, I chatted with the patient who said, like, yes, please speak to my old therapist, you know, about me so you can get to know, blah, blah, blah. So I did, right? So I got to know a lot about the patient before I even met them. So I knew a lot of things. And every time that I would kind of try to go there, the patient was very, like very reluctant. Like, she felt very ashamed and embarrassed, and she didn't want to go there. And I was...
Just roll this back for me. So this was an issue also with the previous therapist?
So with the previous therapist, who was a woman, the patient was totally open to discussing.
I see.
And the previous therapist knew a lot about it, and she told me a whole bunch.
Right.
And now anytime that I would kind of like move my way over there in conversation, it was sort of like dismissed, avoided. So listen, this is a thing that happens a lot.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it is, and this might sound really, really weird, but I wonder if you might be having like feelings for me, and maybe you are presenting yourself as a little bit differently as you normally would because of any thoughts or feelings that you might have about me. And then I said, you know, this is this thing called transference, right? It happens all the time. It's basically all your feelings. And it's totally normal. And it's actually really important for us to kind of understand and talk about because it can get in the way and all the things that we're saying here. And then the woman was just red in the face and she goes, yeah, I think about that all the time. And I had no idea what to do about it. And so I said, okay, so, so here we are. And then we were able to talk about it, right? And discuss it and work through it and all that sort of stuff, which was really interesting. Talked a little bit about where it came from. And then she felt safer kind of going into those uncomfortable, traumatic
experiences.
Places.
Right.
Because she didn't feel like she had to like show up a certain way for me.
I get that. I mean, that's also a challenging conversation to bring up because it might be relieving kind of like from what you're saying. And also, you know, put a person in a spot, they could get more avoidant, more defensive.
Or what I was thinking was like what she might think, like, what is this guy saying?
Oh,
like,
this jerk thinking.
Does he have like the biggest head of the world? Like, oh, Tim, you must think that everyone's fucking in love with you, right? And I was like, all right.
That's also true.
So I don't ever want to be like, hey, so I'm sure you love me, yeah, right? You know, so it's a very delicate, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very, you know, like a lot of normalizing.
Right, right,
talking
right.
about feeling safe space, that sort of thing. So heck, even for me, you know, right. and I've had a bunch of these conversations, and I think we're pretty used to uncomfortable conversations by now. It's always a tough one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, when eroticism, sexuality comes into play, that's a challenging one. I mean, I think the reason you and I want to talk about it because it comes up. It's more common than one would think, kind of like going back to our OCD conversation.
Mm-hmm.
same thing. Just let's try to see it as thing that comes up. And, you know, us here discussing it is hopefully providing you with like, oh, wow, that is true for yeah. me. Oh, wow. I wonder if I could bring it up in a way that I feel more comfortable, but also we could use it to further my work. Right, yeah, like that's right. ideally
yes.
a person listening to this and is resonating with this is able to do that. Right, like, oh, wow, it is coming up for me. How can I use it so that I could further my work? Right, like that would be just amazing
yeah.
if people can take away that sort of a message away from this conversation.
I mean, that's absolutely our hope here, right? And so I'm just imagining, right, if someone happens to be listening to this and then they experience that and they bring it up to their therapist and then they save, I don't know, maybe like 2 months of therapy where
yeah.
they're like showing up a different way, or in your case, right, the woman right. was with you for 9 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And didn't really...
I wasn't even thinking like that. And that's in a good situation, 2 to 9 months. Sometimes people might just like burn through therapists, right? Never bringing it up, really making limited progress
yeah.
because of that. Or worse off, like say, oh, maybe I shouldn't do therapy because all these things are coming up for me when I'm in therapy. Or like, there's just, you know, people can take away all sorts of different meanings.
Oh yeah.
From this, right? Like, so from like just spending a couple of months to like never seeking therapy again, because like, oh my God, or maybe I can't work with, you know, a therapist of a gender that I find attractive because yeah. of that. So you're robbing yourself of an opportunity of a good clinician.
Mm-hmm.
At least potentially robbing or limiting your choices. Like there's just a lot of things that might be coming up that are not very helpful.
Yeah.
Where people, for people, these things come up.
Yep.
Like I just think maybe that's one thing to end on is that we're human beings. Sexuality, eroticism is part of who we are. And, you know, the more we could talk about it, I think the easier it will be. I think it'd be more effective. And it also could inform your work.
Yep. Yeah.
So those are a couple of messages out there. These things come up. Please talk about it to further your own work. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care.